The one on
Chestnut? We're rolling. We're back in session. We're back in session. All right, Barbara, it's 1 o'clock. Here.
Wait.
Here, I've got these.
Okay, does everyone have two pieces of paper you need? And they have handwritten title on them, both of these. This is Maria's last minute.
These go this way. Here. Ross's open. That's the second piece of paper.
Does everybody have
these?
Yes, make sure everyone has these two.
I have two. So give them back to me, because they all go to this side of the table.
Yeah, where are you?
Give me the answers.
A chart and a...
Okay, so this is yours. I had the two of the same.
I don't have the second one.
Here.
Okay. Now you have two. No, I got that one.
This one. Well, maybe look what Craig's passing around.
I've got this chart.
I need this one.
Well, where did they go? Because
right
there was a whole stack of them.
Yeah, right here. You should be there in the back. Anybody not have this one?
Okay. This one, by the way, is a condensed and shorter version of this thing. These two have the same basic numbers in them. Okay. Now, and this is a picture without lots of numbers to show you relatively how the money is allocated and spent. These things are references that you can, look at while you... I think we need to have a speakers list and people talk about what they would like to see in the budget. This is what this open discussion is looking forward to the future. And it's true, there are a lot of expenses we have that dictate what we're going to have to spend our money on, but we don't have a lot of money that is unassigned. But during the time where we draw up the budget, we do take into account the things that people have stated they want to have emphasized. And I guess I am going to write notes down for whatever you guys say we need to keep in mind when our business manager meets with the chief engineer and the people who run the fund drives and the general manager, and they all look at this historical data that is kept of how these budget categories were used in the past. In other words, what people estimated we should have and what actually happened. And each year, then, the idea is to refine the figures so that we try to have a budget that's as close as we can to what really will happen. So,
I would just like to make an observation on the chart title, because it's not in color. It doesn't. I guess the second column are the actuals in each of those.
See, it's
double.
At the bottom.
I know, yeah. But there's no color difference to me. So the second one is the actuals, I presume.
Yes.
Okay. In the future, either have it be, another one look differently,
right,
or do it in color.
9
o'clock last night. Great. It's great. But it's great. It's really...
Yeah.
And then I have a question about in total revenues, it has personnel costs. And then the last thing on the end is personnel costs.
Those two are the same.
Oh, I see. They are identical. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Personnel cost is the total.
Right.
But in the right-hand section, are some broken down things.
Right.
The total personnel costs are made up of salaries and then other
health
taxes,
right,
and benefits is really big. So
okay.
She made that separate.
Okay, all right, thank you. And one more thing I had a question about is board expenses. What are board expenses?
Elections? Well, no, I don't think elections is in there, and it's very small. Well, if we look at this...
I mean, it looks like we get paid, which...
Oh, no. That's not... in fact, I think this board expenses is more... our contribution to some things in the national board, but I'm not sure about that.
So this is the national board?
Maybe. If you look under... on the second page... there's a section that says local board and elections, and that is actually comparatively to the rest of...
591.
Yes. It is local. I'm sorry. It's not national board. These are local board expenses. The elections is the biggest one. The other part is when we pay rent for meeting rooms and... like that. In this large one, on the second page.
Okay. Did you have your hand up?
Craig.
Okay, so my understanding is we're just brainstorming today, right? And so I'm not going to pay attention to these charts, although I really appreciate all the work that Maria and Barbara have put into them. And I just want to try to reawaken our memories about issues that have come up in recent years where, you know, we've said, gosh, if we only had the money to do, you know, X. So the things that come to mind for me are funding for a program director. I would like some way of, you know, a quantitative evaluation of our effectiveness, and that I guess translates into what are called the Nielsen audio ratings now. I think that would be really effective, the old Arbitrons. So I'm just throwing that out there. People have complained about the website and how it needs to be improved in various ways, and so I think we need to allocate some money or priorities for website development. I don't think that will be cheap. I would like to see us restore staffing to pre-2010 levels when we had the huge wave of cuts and many people left. I think we lost a lot of good staff on that. And I would like to see more producers paid. We can really tighten up our programming. I would like to see funding for, I don't know what you would call it, special beats, like, you know, the environmental justice beat or labor or something else. You know, funding, we used to have grants for public affairs where people, reporters say, Christopher Martinez, for instance, and others who would cover specific issues. They were funded by grants to cover that, like environmental justice. Anyway, you know, funding for particular coverage or special programming so we can develop, say, investigative pieces on something. I guess this would be a matter of public affairs programming. And then finally, and I don't know quite how to phrase this, but... Andrea and Pritchett and the Outreach Committee are making efforts to develop a listener base in San Jose. As far as I'm concerned, unless we find a way to fund that so we can make it a reality for people from San Jose to participate in the programming on KPFA, that I'm not sure that's going to go very far. I don't think I don't see it as having kind of a lasting effect unless we can find some way to fund that. In either San Jose or the North Bay or other parts, you know, San Francisco or Oakland or Richmond or other parts like that. And so I would like to see some funding allocated for developing a base in other areas in the Bay Area, San Jose, Richmond, and so forth.
Don and then Frank. Pardon? Three-minute time, and Ramses is keeping the clock.
Question first to the treasurer. Are we looking at both the budget sheets that you just handed out versus what these are of development ideas?
The development ideas are later.
Later.
That's not off-air fundraising. We're going to talk about that later.
Okay. So the brainstorming now is to say what we'd like to spend on?
Okay.
And you might, you know, look at the bar chart to, if you want to refer to how the money is allocated now.
Well, I think the detail sheet actually is more
okay, whichever
illustrative
means
for me.
Is easier for you to
yeah.
absorb.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've got several questions on this detail sheet, if that's relevant here. It's up to you what you want to accomplish here.
Well, I think today the idea was to give an opportunity to people to just say what their wish lists are. But
okay.
If you want to, you know, why don't you put out one or two of your most pressing questions, and let's see how it relates to the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, to pick up on the issue of the website is that Craig just alluded to, if you look at that website and you look at any up-to-date entity that's trying to really market itself, we're way behind. And I am sure there are a bunch of people out there who would love to come in and help, even on a volunteer basis, to get that website looking really snazzy for 20, 30, and 40-somethings. And that then leads into the whole issue of social media, which I talked about when we had development ideas back in the past. And we've got several colleges and community colleges here in the Bay Area from which we could get interns working on not just audio, but audio-visual, so that, Frank, what you're already doing, trying to do a weekly video thing, we could really upgrade and have a YouTube channel that's related to KBFA. The other thing in terms of programming ideas that I think we desperately need is a weekly program devoted to people's personal financial situations. And it would be a call-in show where the host would have an expert in a different field every week, whether it's managing your mortgages, managing your 401ks, managing whether you're going to ever be able to retire, managing your student debt, because that's where the crisis is for 80% of the population right now. And we don't have a show on KBFA that actually does that.
Okay, I think there's nothing that we can answer about those things, but I think the whole issue of having volunteers come to set up a website is a coordination, you know, situation. And then and I think your program idea about the personal finances is a good one, but it's we're not in the business of making a lot of suggestions about programming, except as a listener, you can certainly do that. Yeah, right. And I think carrying it to the people who are eventually going to tinker with the program schedule is a really good thing to do. Okay.
I don't think you have to answer.
No, but we might as well just.
Yeah, Frank.
Hello. So before I start, I just kind of want to be clear. I have a couple of things about questions, and then I have my ideas on brainstorming. Is that separate? Because with this chart that you put out with the graph and everything, I like that. I appreciate that. But some of the things I'd like to see is if we could get like a more detailed picture of the chart. I know like personnel costs, that's like a whole embodiment. I'm curious, like, in which little microcosms the bigger funds, you know, are going. I want, like, a breakdown of, like, a smaller groups, you know, news departments or Flashpoint, however you want to, like, public affairs, however you want to break that up. I'd like to see a little more detail for me. It would help me out. And I guess, and I noticed flipping through the more detailed page, I don't know where I put it right now, but I know, like everybody else in the whole country, the medical costs are up, way up. Is there a way that we could, like, maybe get someone to look at a way of reducing our medical costs, you know, a different plan or something? I don't know. I just know that it's like, I didn't do the math, but it was like almost half of our costs. If you add, you know, next to the, I didn't take a great note on it, and I don't even know where my paper is now, but it's a lot compared to how much all of our personnel costs are. It's like at least a third, almost approaching half, I thought. Okay. Can I go to my ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to even say, I don't know if you want to say anything, but.
Just about the bit more detail about personnel, Maria will work on that, and we may be able to get a better chart another time. But she's working, you know, more.
I mean, I'd like a really detailed one, you mm-hmm. know. And
no.
You
no,
can't? I thought that was a public station. I thought this is all public record.
Not the person. Not. We have to be
position.
Very careful about, yes, but when you name positions, there's one
I feel person. It's the public station. I think people should know because
yes,
I want to see
it. It can't be put out on the public record, but the LSB has in the past had salary information in closed session. And if you need to talk about those things, that's the kind of discussion it would be.
Well, I'd like it to be, you know, maybe we could have a little of both, one where we could see a little more detail and everybody could see. And mm-hmm. then if we have to get super deep, maybe we could do that.
I'll tell you, one of the frustrations our business manager has is that the payroll all goes through the national office. And they have conglomerated things to the point where it's very difficult to break down. I mean, it's time-consuming to break down by department even what the salaries are that
we
have. So it's a struggle to keep track of this data, but it can be gotten, and we can discuss it in these months ahead.
Okay, because I think that would be like a more detailed thing would be helpful.
Okay.
Okay, so now my thoughts, you know, I thought we were having separate time. I thought I clarified separate times. He just gave me the, like, wrap-up 30-second signal.
Well, I was talking, too.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
go ahead with your
okay, so my thoughts.
This is a, yeah.
I'll let the chair decide to keep going.
All right, go ahead, Frank.
So only a couple of things. You know, I really want to support the apprenticeship program. I'll start with this because in the December meeting I wasn't here and I noticed your unanimous thing since December, you said. I'll bring one exception up. When we voted unanimously to support the apprenticeship program as a local station board, as this gem that me and Lewis, I wish he was here right now, you know, it was a nice little motion about how the apprenticeship program has done all this and how we won these awards and how we should all support it. And everybody said, yay, let's support it. And then Janet was kind enough to say, hey, well, if we're going to do all this and tout it like this, why don't we budget for it coming up? No one voted for it but two people. And it really upsets me. I want to bring a motion. I didn't want to do it today because we're missing a lot of people. But plan on, in the future, I'm going to bring this motion up again. I'm going to want a roll call vote on this because it's really frustrating how much everyone wants to support it. And we could say we don't have the money, but I could say that we got the money for Gold Busters. We got the money for a relief helper for when Brian's out on vacation. We got the funds for another board op position, a phone room coordinator. Chris Tellick has someone in there helping him. I don't know if it's a paid position or not. Maria has an assistant. You know, we always say we don't have money for this, but money goes places. So that's one thing I want to do. Another thing is Operation San Jose thing. I think it'll take some hold. One thing I've experienced with doing remote broadcasts, if you make connections, people lock in your station. When you have them on the radio, they like to listen to it. When I went to the high school, a lot of people say, well, I got you tuned in now. So I think Operation San Jose will work. We've been working hard. The website, I mentioned to Richard about the position of the web guy. That is a real struggle for me, too. I went there yesterday because we have a link up there to the apprenticeship program. And when you search for your apprenticeship program, it takes you to some old data. And I asked if he could change that. He said he couldn't do it, that I have to ask Michael Yoshida. And I know that he got into that position through like a lawsuit or one of those crazy things where we had to have a position for this guy. You know, and our web page is suffering. Richard cannot ask somebody to move laterally in the station unless they're willing to do so. There's a board op position that the web guy is really capable of, And I want to propose that I want to do it myself if I can. I haven't had the courage when I talked to him to ask him if he would be willing to move laterally and step out of that web position into the same paid position with a board op where he could make way for a real web person that really knows how to do the web that can, like, do something like that. And I think that was it. My support for the apprenticeship program coming up. Watch for that because I'm going to be making a motion. I'm going to be doing roll call vote.
Apprenticeship
program. My support for the apprenticeship program, how we all voted yes. The one unanimous vote that wasn't was the one to support it financially. So that's going to be coming up in my budget discussions. Operation San Jose, I hope it'll take good hold. And the lateral movement of the web guy, I really, really want that too. We've got a lot of web stuff coming up in 2014, video broadcast
Your time
and stuff.
Is up. Okay.
30 seconds. And briefly, so our video broadcast coming up in 2014 is going to be on synthetic biology. And we're going to be broadcasting that from the Brower Center again. All the synthetic labs are popping up in Berkeley, Richmond. It's called the East Bay Green Corridor. I want everybody to start learning about that. And we're going to be breaking that down with video broadcast on our website. And we've had trouble in the past. So I want that to be clear and functional. Thank you.
I don't see hands. I have a question. About the technology at the station. How are the computers or the whatevers?
Well, I'm glad you asked about that because I know that one of the problems at the station is all the frustration with the technology. Things that don't work need, somebody to come and tinker with it. And I know that a lot of the people who are volunteer staff feel that they don't get the equipment that the paid staff get. And my observation is that everyone is working with very difficult equipment. It's really not as hierarchical as you think. Everybody has the dregs. There are computers that are in use daily by people that need attention. And it sometimes it becomes a problem of how much staff time are we going to spend renewing this and putting in a new motherboard and whatever when we should just spend some money and get another computer. So I think it's just a fact of life with a nonprofit organization living on the edge the way we do, that we do the best we can with the technology and we keep at it, you know, keep trying to fix it and keep replacing it when necessary. It is a need. I recognize that. I don't, at this point, have a dollar amount in my mind about it now.
Is it possible to get a look at various upgrade categories of money? You know, like to do X, it would cost $10,000 to do. Everything would cost $100,000 to do, you know, to so that we have a sense. Because it strikes me that at some point we might want to have a special drive about technology upgrade or something, or a special something where we're doing that. Okay. Craig, Don.
I've written down here that estimates needed, and I'm sure that this the chief engineer can contribute to this kind of estimating.
Okay, I have Craig, Don, Tina. Is there anybody else I'm missing? Okay, Craig.
Well, since we're asking for the moon here, I'm just going to go for it. Well, I think we should look at adequate funding for computer or you know, tech upgrades and maintenance with appropriate IT staff to be able to carry those out, and have some fund for ergonomic improvements. I mean, we shouldn't get to the point where all the computers are years old and everybody's struggling with old, crappy, half-dead equipment.
I mean, we should have something where these things are renewed on a regular basis, and we've got the staff to make that happen. And also so that people aren't breaking their backs and fingers trying to work at these stations, we should have an ergonomic fund. Get on the wish list, I'll throw in a development director, because that's been a recurring theme. So add that to the list. And I'll leave it at that until I have some other epiphany. Then I'll ask for the mic again.
Don and then Tina.
I want to stay on this issue of the technology and the equipment that we need to make the station, current and optimal in terms of people working with good equipment. I think I would not do a special fund drive. I would rather go to major donors that hopefully have been identified now by, quote, goalbusters, and have individual meetings with them and explain the need for the equipment, that if we're going to run a top-tier radio station with garbage equipment, that's not going to work. And I think that's the way to do it, and I think we can get that money.
Tina.
I would just like to say that on my wish list is website development and social media. Someone else mentioned that, but I think it's really important as a media company or institution that this is, like, really important. And I think that there's, interns, there's multimedia projects that another entity could take on, UC Berkeley or, City College or somebody, or a company even pro bono. But I think that this is something that has to be worked in a whole plan. And one of the things that's really lacking is an oversight of a whole development plan. And so I really want to say that I think that a development director should be a priority as well. And it could be a consultant. You know, you don't have to make a commitment to that, but just to write that in. Here it says consultants and administrative expenses, $41,000. Well, the actual was $28,000. Well, couldn't that have part of that been spent on somebody to write a plan or something like that for a marketing communications plan for KPFA? I think that's something that would be really important. And then also, I wanted to ask a question about what are bank charges for $12,000 or $13,000? That's a lot of bank charges. And then I want to support the funding for the apprenticeship program. And I also think that I see that there's a surplus, and I think that it's important that KPFA have a surplus, that people shouldn't look at, oh, surplus, what are we going to spend it on? That, in fact, it should be something, a goal that KPFA have a surplus of $50,000 in the bank or whatever, that's something that's really important to have, a rainy day fund.
I can take a minute and address a couple of these things. The bank charges are, we pay in order to process all of the income on credit cards, and it's unavoidable. It is, yeah. You have to see how much we actually raise that way, and, believe me, our business manager is aggressively aware about it, and we have changed banks because we didn't want to be in the Bank of America anymore, and part of the evaluation is that sort of thing, that service. So, and what was the last thing you were talking about? You said no.
Besides finding some pro bono web development or
the consultant, the consultant, the 42,000 for whatever that was the amount that was agreed to when the contract was signed with Goldbusters for 2 years, and half of it has been spent. So that was what that money was for.
Frank.
I'm back again. So just to throw it out there, I recently was emailed a grant proposal by Robin Takayama, someone from San Francisco Art. I'm not sure where she's working right now, but she sent out a related grant, and I forwarded on to Goalbusters. I've yet to hear back from them. That was a few days ago, and I didn't notice them around at the recent fund drive either. I'm not sure what's happening, but so hopefully that will work out, a grant to fund like the public affairs programming. I think it would be the second one. Hopefully they filled it out. And I never threw out there like my range, what I was hoping for the apprenticeship program, but people are throwing stuff out there. So in the past, we had two full-time positions, and we split the one full-time position between two directors, and the other position was divided up between three staff. If we could just get back to a one full-time position plus a little bit more, we could still have almost the same, which is a lot more assistance for the training program that happens. So it's more than just a weekly program, because we have 12 to 18 people cycling through the station at any given time. And to have to like try to listen to all their sounds and try to critique them all and give them feedback, it's not easy for just me and Mickey to do. And in the past, when I came through the program, when we developed all these great people that have expanded out into the station or into the public broadcast world, and when I was learning, I had a lot more support. I had a person in my own position and two other people, a segment editor and a senior producer. And it really helped the apprenticeship program flourish at that time. And so if we can get back to at least having one halftime director instead of two halftime directors, that one person has benefits. If we can get 36 hours a week, we could pay three people 12 hours a week. And that would be facilitating and help with our classes, our training, all that we do. And that would be still less than half of what we had in the past when the cuts were made first.
How are those positions funded?
It started – well, I still have 3 minutes. It started in the past with
– A grant.
And
from
then the
California
station,
Arts Council.
And then the station ended up absorbing the payment, as far as I understand. And then when the cuts started happening back, the big-time cuts that Craig was talking about, the apprenticeship program actually was the first one to be cut when they had a hiring freeze. And our positions were one-year fellowships. The way we work it is you get the position for 1 year, and then when you're done, a new apprentice gets to take that position after, you know, a little interview program. So, you know, hopefully we tried for a grant with Goalbusters to see what happens. But I would like to propose 36 hours a week to be allotted back for that help and for that assistance for the training program. And that would be no benefits. It would just be three separate positions.
At the point at which we're actually doing the budget and looking at the numbers, I think then you can bring it up then too. And it may also be, just to alert you, that you may also have to figure where you're suggesting the cuts come from. That may not be the case, but it may be. Craig.
More ideas. This is so much fun. Just on the issue of volunteers for web development, I really don't like that because it's so easy to invite people in and they develop this spiffy program and then they go away. You need maintenance, long-term maintenance on these things, and that to do that, and I believe that's the problem, that's my understanding, that's the problem with our website now. We had a volunteer who did a spiffy job, and now we're kind of left with, as Roger Marquis says, a Cadillac system on a beer budget, because we're stuck. So we need to do that well. We need the funding for it, and I wouldn't want to depend on volunteers. Couple other items. I think I can divulge this. One of the recommendations of the workplace investigation report was to have people who were familiar with affirmative action principles and practices involved in hiring and involved in interviewing. This was one of the mitigations for the allegations of racism happening and discrimination happening within the station. I think if our HR staff doesn't have the training, we should fund the training. We should make sure our HR staff has the training for these things, and we should send them to training. If we don't, or if we need to have somebody on staff who is more familiar with, you know, practices, best
best practices regarding discrimination and affirmative action. We should have funding for that. We should have training funds so that we can invest in both our paid and our unpaid staff. You know, people who want to take training for technical reasons or for, you know, improving their elocution or improving their radio skills, or who want to submit a proposal to do a series on the green corridor or something like that. We ought to have funds for training so we can build up our staff. So training funds, that's another thing.
Cynthia? Mike?
All right. I think that's a point well taken to have, a volunteer kind of director who would, monitor the kind of volunteers. I have for years got four solid people to do a receptionist job because many, many people tell me how weird it is to call KPFA and not get to the appropriate place. And we don't. And I don't know why that could not, if we have an appropriate volunteer person to vet the people, why we can't have a volunteer receptionist, just for example, and then have an appropriate website person. And of course, I believe in the development director. It looks like we do spend money on development. And just as points of information, does Goldbusters have any time left on their contract then?
I think their contract is, I'm not really certain. I think they're in their second year.
So they do have some time till the end of our fiscal year.
I believe that's
year. And it's some other point of information, but it's gone out of my mind. So anyway, this is the easy part.
I have a technical interruption. At 2:00, I got to put in my other SD card.
Okay. When did we start? What time did we
start? One. Tina.
Okay, I just wanted to say that for the last 2 months, I've been serving as interim fund drive / volunteer coordinator. And getting volunteers to do the front desk reception and otherwise is like herding cats. And there isn't an infrastructure at KPFA for volunteers. We don't have volunteer orientation. We don't have, there's not an infrastructure like at other community radio stations for volunteers. And it's been very frustrating and surprising to me that it doesn't exist that way. So, I mean, that's a very, it's a deeper issue of infrastructure. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, there was a proposal for a new position, the one that you took up temporarily. And with our last year's budget, Michigas, that position was diminished down to halftime finally. And then at the point where we at the station we were going to hire someone, the executive director put a stop to it as a budgetary restraint.
Right, I understand that.
So this is what the problem we have all the time with when we need a development director. Yes, but you don't have the money, and it's a cyclical problem.
Right, and so I just wanted to clarify what the point that you were making is that it's an overall structural issue. This is how we're going to cultivate our volunteers. This is how we're going to orientate our volunteers. This is how we're going to schedule our volunteers. All of that is something that somebody needs to sit down and have a revamping of.
Who brought these?
Thank you, whoever was.
Fabulous.
Don.
Well, I think what you're alluding to, which really is the major issue for KPFA and probably all the other Pacifica stations, is the ephemeral nature of our general managers. If we don't have a permanent general manager in place for 3, 4, 5 years at a stretch to really do all the administrative and structural changes required. You know, we're whistling whatever we want to call it. And it's very problematic. And I know, you know, that the Pacific executive director is going to select somebody, presumably, from the list of four candidates that the LSB sent to her. But we're still waiting on that, I believe, since November. And now we're in February. So I don't think we can get this station to right its ship in any fundamental way until we have a seasoned, trained manager who's there permanently for a stretch of time and make the changes that need to be made. All the rest is wishful thinking.
I would like to echo what was just said about the general manager. I noticed that we skipped by the general manager's report, and I was hoping to bring it up at this time. So I'll try to do it now in this what we're discussing about, because it is very important to the station. As a staff representative to the local station board, I have been receiving emails and phone calls about what is happening with our general manager. They urged me to write a letter to Summer Reese in an email, which I have done over almost coming up on 2 weeks, no response. A lot of us have big plans that we're trying to do for 2014, including Operation San Jose, including my big speaking series. I'm working with Friends of the Earth and working at the Brower Center. I have no one to talk to about making these plans, although I have met with Richard, and representatives of Friends of the Earth came in to present their speaking series. I'm trying to plan a meeting with the guy that does the shooting, the camera, and the upload to the video feed with Michael Yoshida and that guy and our manager. I don't know. You know, I seen the email came out for the staff about how to arrange a meeting with Richard, but it's really become a little tough. I sent an email out for the Operation San Jose to get sent to staff. It got lost. Actually, I didn't send it out, but one of our group sent it out to Richard. He sent back an email. He's going to do a little editing on it and get it out ASAP. Well, it didn't happen. I had to resend another email asking what happened when I started asking staff about Operation San Jose. Are you guys going to come? I never heard nothing about it yet. And I was like, oh, what about the staff email? Never went out. So I'm just saying that it is having an effect on the station already. You know, I appreciate what Richard has done and what he's doing, being stretched around in both places. But it is hurting the station, especially when people are trying to make big plans for 2014, when we are trying to do big work. We need a manager in place. And if our executive director is not going to tell us what's happening, I mean, we need to know. I sent out an email, nothing. I mean, no one here knows who to talk to anymore, if anyone's going to be there.
Just a reminder, this is discussion of brainstorming about, that's okay, finances. And people can repeat each other's things if they want until 2 o'clock. But, you know, are there new ideas? Craig, Don.
That actually, Frank's comments reminded me that it would be good if we could develop, you know, better newsletters. I mean, I know people have talked about going back to the days of, like, the folio or, but, I mean, some people have talked about that, but developing a good system so that we can send out nice newsletters electronically or by paper, better communication with our members. So some funding for that. Facilities. We have talked about, there is a mold problem, or at least there's a smelly problem in parts of the building, and so I think that needs to be dealt with. And the knock-upon space, the old restaurant space next door, and I know it's really, the estimates are that it's really expensive to renovate that, to bring it up to code and so forth. We talked about it, but I'm just putting that out there as a possible item for whatever use we want to do with it, but we could allocate money to renovate that space. Knock upon and mold abatement. Another recurring problem is keeping track of who the unpaid staff are. And Andrew Phillips, before he departed as general manager, had said he was developing some tracking system for that, or not tracking, but, you know, kind of roster system. And if funding is necessary for that, I think we should allocate money for that too. Or let's say I would like to see money for that, because I think resolving that would resolve a lot of the disputes that we saw last year and the year before. I mean, it's a total waste of everybody's time and energy to have to go through that, and it's just a simple it's an administrative thing we could spend some money on. So those are three more items.
Not that anybody cares, but I'm beginning to zone out. Don.
Well, that's...
You're boring her.
I'm boring her. Carol needs more drama here, I guess. Just to amplify on the point about management and its role in this station. My sister was listening to a show on KALW. She was very unhappy about part of it. She sent an email to their executive director, who's an alumnus of KPFA, by the way, Matt Martin, right? Oh, Matt, what's his full name?
Yes.
Matt Martin. He responds to the email in 10 minutes. Okay? Frank's talking about he can't get a response from anybody for weeks. That's a system problem that has to be addressed to whatever degree this local station board has any ability to affect anything. Not much, right? And the other thing I would love to know, since we're talking about development and talking about budget, is do we have an interim report from Goalbusters as to what they have achieved with regard to identifying and generating revenue?
I don't have it in my hand, but I think there have been meetings with the IGM, and they are tracking what's going on.
We had asked Richard to bring a report to the board with hard numbers. We have not gotten that yet. It is now, I can't tell because of the reflection. Okay, so we've got another 12 minutes of this.
I would like to say something about Richard's unavailability. You know, this really is exaggerated now by the fact that he's split the way he is. So I would like, in the public record anyway, to not say that we're continually saying we've asked for this and we haven't gotten it, we contacted him and no response, because you really have to recognize that the man is only here every few days. And it's a big problem for us, and we do not have control over that, unfortunately. We kind of have what I think of is enforced chaos that we are living with and we are dealing with, and we are trying to still run a radio station with this situation. And I think, you know, it's damn hard, but it's amazing. We just keep doing it.
Kate.
This is just a quick postscript to what Barbara read into the record, and that is that it's less than a month that he's actually been splitting his time, so we can't write it all off for his being overworked.
No, but it's getting worse, you know, the inability to answer things.
Okay. In any case, I think that we seem to have exhausted this topic. And I don't think we have to go on for the full hour. Pardon? Okay, why don't you do that? Why don't you change the card, and then we'll come back to another. Pardon? Change your card, and we'll review.